flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Thanks for joining us. Final hour of our work week, and it definitely feels weird not to have any football on the horizon. Or, well, at least not this weekend. You could get into NASCAR. There's a lot happening in car racing gearing up for Daytona, which is just a couple weeks down the road. Or how about golf? There you go. The entertainment value of golf. It was a topic of conversation on the PGA Tour. We'll see if we can get to some Rory McIlroy this hour. I'm not sure if we'll have a chance to shove it in there. I've been trying, but golf just doesn't flow with the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. However, Rory was making his debut on the PGA Tour. And in order to reintroduce himself to the world of golf here in the United States, he ended up with a hole-in-one on his front nine yesterday. So that was how he reintegrated himself to the PGA Tour. But yeah, it's not only the NBA who's struggling with declining ratings when it comes to TV viewership. It's also golf in a drastic way. And there are a lot of reasons for that. I think the idea that they're tweaking it so much and that fans are having a hard time keeping up, but also when there are many other exciting options that bring a little more energy and not as much Tiger Woods and not as much Phil Mickelson. And golf really doesn't have a face, if you will, not one that's consistently on top. It's kind of a no man's land for the sport. Lots of sports go through it. I mean, speaking of NASCAR, so many of the great drivers retiring in the last 10 years. And in addition to that, the expense of going to a track and the changing cars and the changing playoff format. I know a lot of people that can't keep up stage racing. I hate it. And I used to be a massive NASCAR fan. I don't hate the sport. I just don't like stage racing. So there's a ways that you can fill the void. I think my husband and I are going to do kind of a mini road trip to the other side of New Jersey, the more rural part of New Jersey, in the Delwater Gap area, if you know anything about it, Frenchtown, New Jersey. And this weekend, I also have to, producer Pete, now Pete, this is Pete and I were our last show working together actually until this, because he's checking out. Super Bowl's, he's not here.
Checking
he's,
out.
He's not here for Super Bowl week. Well, he's here in the building,
doing
but
another
he's,
task.
He's not with us. Yes, he's determined that his other tasks, they allow him to work during the daytime, so he likes that better. So he's going to be in the newsroom next week, and I don't know what's going on Super Bowl night. Have you determined whether or not you're going to grace us with your presence?
It's Ryan on Super Bowl night.
So where are you on Super Bowl night?
I'm still going to be do my tasks.
Oh, all right. His tasks. So this is the last time Pete and I will be working together football season. And Ryan will be here all of next week through Super Bowl. So we have the 6 shows left to go, but none with producer Pete. However, you need to remind me, because it's the off weekend, I have a couple of things I need to do. Number one, our winner from Survivor Island.
Yes.
His name is Pat. He's a listener in Florida. He is gung-ho. He survived to, I believe, week 16. And it was down to him and one other woman. Yeah. He ended up, I think he picked Miami that week. Don't quote me. I can't remember exactly. But I owe him cookies. Now, the reason I haven't done it yet is because we haven't had a weekend off yet. But he also is gluten-free. So I found some almond flour. Crazy enough, my husband moved from Texas with almond flour. Uh-huh. Don't ask me why. He's never actually used it. But I did find some recipes for chocolate chip cookies with almond flour. I'm going to try it. I cannot claim that they're going to be good. I'm a little bit nervous. I've never cooked with anything else other than either all-purpose or whole wheat flour I've cooked with in the past. So I guess I'm going to have a backup plan and tell him, hey, sorry, they didn't work out, but here's some other cookies if you want to give them to your non-gluten-free friends. But I do owe him cookies because that was the win, or the,
that's right.
That's the big prize, if you will, of surviving to the very end. So I've got to make cookies for Pat and his family.
That was a big win because this season was beyond impossible to pick winners in any week.
It was. The other thing I have to do, and I'm waiting until I go to the post office one time. That's it. I'm just going one time. You may remember, I think you were here. I think so. We had a few after hours shirts that were, this wasn't you? Was this pre you?
This was pre you.
Okay, so maybe this was during the summertime when we had a revolving door of 17 different producers.
Cornucopia of producers.
Oh my gosh, a smorgasbord. I'd rather go to Golden Corral for the cornucopia. Mm. Anyway, we had a revolving door and I discovered that we still had a few of our specially designed after hours t-shirts. Now they're bright orange, which is my favorite color. They have a picture of Penny on the back. So they were designed and given to us. They're collector's items before Penny had passed away. So we had 3 left and they were, I think, small and extra small, maybe one medium, a small and extra small. So for the most part, weren't going to be shared with a lot of the male listeners that were here on the show or that were listening to the show. But I did hear from 2 separate people. One had daughters, 2 daughters who would, he said, would be proud to represent both After Hours and Penny. And so he sent me a tweet. I have saved it and I will be sending them the t-shirts, the small, the extra small. There was also another woman who wrote, there's a woman who wrote to me and said, I'll use the medium. I'll proudly honor Penny's memory. So I have 2 sets of shirts to send and 1 package of gluten-free chocolate chip cookies. If I can get that done this weekend, I will feel as though I still was on time. Because
it's an accomplished.
Right. It's still football season. Although, gosh, they probably forgot about the shirts. If they aren't listening this morning, they think I've forgotten. I have not forgotten. It'll be a grand surprise when those shirts show up on your doorstep.
It'll be a nice surprise. That's a very good gift.
Right. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, if you feel like I've forgotten you, just know I still have you close to my heart. Shirts and cookies this weekend, my off weekend. You can find us online at A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours.
Real quick.
Yes.
You had a hard
Facebook
time.
Facebook page.
You had a hard time finding almond flour?
No, I had a hard time finding a recipe that I was comfortable with.
Oh, okay.
So, no, my husband moved from Texas with almond flour. And I said to him when we unpacked it, why do you have this? Oh, I don't know. It was for a particular recipe and I ended up not using it. So it's never been opened. I have a friend who bakes with almond flour. I've never done it. But I know it doesn't rise the same as regular flour. So I'm a little bit nervous. In my oven, it might take a couple batches. So Pat, this is for you. I'm going out of my way since you do not eat gluten and you earned the cookies.
Yeah, because I was going to say a certain chain, I think, has all that stuff.
Oh.
Raymond Rose.
Oh, so you think I should cheat and buy cookies?
No. I'm just saying for future reference.
Oh, gotcha. In case I ever need gluten-free cookies.
In case you have one and you like it, which could happen.
All right, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. 855-212-4227. We are also taking your responses to our Super Bowl question, but it's recency bias. Super Bowl of the last 25 years. What was the best one? Some of you are giving us a couple. And I kind of was erring on the side of competition, like the most competitive, except, of course, we're having people who call up. And my favorite is the one that my team won. Well, yes, that, I guess, we should have been clearer about it.
I went the total opposite. One of my favorite ones is the one where a team I despised won. The Patriots, when they won against the Rams.
All right. Well, not everyone despises the Patriots.
I despise that group of Patriots.
I feel like when the Patriots beat the Rams, they were actually the underdog in this kind of a neat story going back to the turn of the century.
They were at the
because
time.
Kurt Warner was beloved, and they were going for back-to-back Super Bowls, the greatest show on turf, and the Adam Vinatieri moment, all that. That was when we were really introduced to Tom Brady outside of New England. I was living in Oklahoma at the time, but I'm a New England native, so of course knew what was happening there.
That greatest show on turf was missing one thing.
Defense?
Oh, well, two things. Defense and Dick Vermeil.
Oh, yeah. So, we're taking your submissions, whether it's online or we'll get back to your phone calls. A couple of things I want to drop in here before we get to our break. And we do have some Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. We'll get to that before the end of the hour. But did you hear the stunning revelation from Dwayne Wade about his 2023 surgery that removed a cancerous tumor? This was a part of a podcast that he did called The Why with Dwayne Wade. And yeah, he tells the story.
What I had on my kidney was a cyst, a tumor. But it was not nothing that could be biopsied. It was not nothing they can test unless they went in and surgically removed it.
So he talks about how he hadn't had a physical in a few years upon retiring from basketball, and he started to have major stomach and urinary issues. Finally, he went to the doctor. They said to him, something's wrong. There's a cyst, fairly large, on your kidney. We need to do the surgery. We don't know what it is, but we can't biopsy it without removing it. So he said he was really struggling. He said he agreed to do the surgery, not knowing exactly what they would find.
I made a decision to have surgery. I had surgery on December 18th, 2023. My father was there to walk me into the hospital. My wife was there when I woke up. It's only two people you can have in the hospital. To find out, obviously, at 41 years old, pretty healthy guy, that I did have cancer. Thank God that I did do the surgery.
Right.
Because the tumor was cancerous. So I have one kidney, and I have another kidney that is 60%. They took 40% of my kidney.
How about that? Just as a side note, this is the day after I got married. So it stuck with me because he said December 18th, 2023. It's not that long ago. And so he's living with a new normal. Late 23, decided to have the surgery. They did a full body scan and realized that he had the cyst. But this is an NBA player, a Hall of Famer, one a world-class athlete, one of the most beloved athletes ever to play in Miami, a multi-time champion. Pete, he was in incredible health. In his mid-30s, he decides to go a few years without any type of physical. Now think about it. With all these pro sports, they're constantly testing you. Right. Always. You have to go through not just tests to start a season. So they have baselines to compare. They have technology where they're constantly monitoring, but also you're always getting checked. The number, and it's happened, what, two or three times? Caris LeVert is a great example. He got traded from, was it Brooklyn to Indiana?
It was a trade where he was, it might have been a three-team trade. I'm not sure.
Okay. So he ended up with the Pacers, though. And in order to complete the trade, had to go through a full physical. They find out he has cancer when he goes through this physical. So here is Dwayne Wade, who after all these years, he's so incredibly healthy. He takes off a few years from doing physicals. And in that time, obviously, this very aggressive cancer is growing to the point where they have to remove nearly half of one of his kidneys. The value of having physicals, tests, especially if you are at risk for a particular type of a disease. So, for instance, there's breast cancer in my family. My grandmother had it. I never miss mammograms, anything like that. They're so important, because if you can catch it early enough, you can, in this case, remove the cancer, or you can have it treated. Oh my gosh, that's scary. Can you imagine? He said he was really struggling. He was so weak. He was, you know, he was upset. He was nervous, but decided to have the surgery. And they did, in fact, find out that it was a large cancerous tumor.
It's just shocking.
It is. It is shocking. So thankfully, he's okay and he's still around. He's in his early 40s and a great ambassador for basketball. But obviously, beyond that, he is a husband and he's a father and he's a son. Before we take our first break here, also just want to mention, if you haven't seen a lot of the names and photos of the sweet kiddos from the plane crash have been released now. For those of you who live in the Boston area or New England, you know, the Skating Club of Boston is one of the groups that's claiming some of these young people. And to hear their stories, they're teenagers, a couple of preteens, actually. Also some skaters from the D.C. area, from Maryland. I think there's a Philadelphia tie as well. It's really sad to think about the families. There were entire families that died in this crash. And so I know in Boston, there has been just it's a seismic loss because of the people that were on the plane that were tied to Boston. And they are expected to host the Figure Skating World Championships in March in Boston. And at this point, according to the CEO of the skating club, they are planning to move forward. We found some Nancy Kerrigan, who is from that same skating club. She was reacting when she had an opportunity on Thursday.
I feel for the athletes, the skaters, their families, but anyone that was on that plane, not just the skaters, because it's just such a tragic event. And we've been through tragedies before as Americans, as people, and we are strong. And I guess it's how we respond to it. And so my response was to be with people I care about and I love and need. I needed support. So that's why I'm here. We just wish them well, and like the families, the courage and the strength to make the next steps. I don't know how. You look at people go through tragedies and you wonder, how do they do it? I don't know, but we're so strong. Somehow we have a reservoir to dig from, and each one of them are strong enough to get through this somehow. It will take time, but look beside you. There's somebody that cares, and I don't know, tell people around you that you love them because you just never know.
Nancy Kerrigan reacting to a tragedy that has affected dozens of people from the skating community. And it's the kiddos that were part of this elite development camp. It's also families. It's also coaches. And so there's a pretty tight-knit community, according to those who are part of it. And it's really rocked them again. So thinking of them. And there are other names, faces, families, photos, people out there that were sons and daughters, sisters and brothers, great friends, also parents, husbands and wives. And even as the recovery operation continues, I think it's important to remember the people and to go and look at their names, their faces, and to read a little more about them. So thinking about them again on this Friday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're getting set for a weekend with no football. So we're asking you to kind of fill that void, if you're feeling it, about your favorite Super Bowl in the last 25 years. Think we're going to have a guest here in studio in the next couple minutes, so we look forward to that as well. It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Good morning. We are closing in on the weekend. Oh, that makes me so happy. Happy Friday to our friend Boomer Esiason, who's popped into our studio.
It's a happy feel-good Friday. Good morning, Amy.
I would try to talk
to... I should say goodnight to you. As I wake up, soon. You get ready to go to sleep.
But I do go home and eat breakfast. I don't know what is it about this particular like shift or time slot, I am so hungry. So I bring snacks, but by the time I get to about 4:30 Eastern time, my stomach is growling so loudly that it's almost like hard to concentrate.
You're hungry because you're tired. I have the same feeling at around 11:30 after I get off my shift and I get home, and it's around 11:30, I'm looking for something to eat because I'm
starving. I
choose
to believe it's because talking burns calories.
Like okay, you can convince yourself that. That's fine. Yeah, we're losing weight as we sit here.
Yes, that's what I think.
Exactly.
So Boomer Esiason, former NFL MVP, and I was going to talk to him about football, right? But he wants to talk about baseball. Just for a minute.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean you and I. So you posted on Twix, is what I call it, last night that Pete Alonso today could re-sign with the Mets. Are you feeling optimistic?
Oh, it's a feel-good Friday. That's what I say. And, well, listen, I do have, a hunch, let's put it that way. I don't want to put anybody
inside
in a really bad spot in my life, so I will not do that. But look, where's Pete going to go? I know that he really feels like he's underpaid and probably underappreciated by David Stearns and the Mets, and I'll say this on my own show here in New York, but I am a Met fan, and I'm a legitimate Met fan. I mean, I'll go to games, but I watch the games. I know the players. Tom Seaver was one of my favorites growing up. That's how old I am. And I had really the time of my life visiting him at his Calistoga winery back around Super Bowl 50 out in San Francisco.
Wow.
And before he passed away. And I got to tell you, it was one of the most memorable days of my life spending the day with him at his winery. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
But so saying that, I am a legitimate Met fan, you know, and Pete Alonso is not going to the Blue Jays. He's not going to the Reds. He's not going to the, I mean, like, he wants to be a Met.
I mean, everyone goes to the Dodgers.
Yeah, he's not going there either. They got Freddie Freeman. So, and I'm surprised they haven't offered him $500 million to go there. But, look, I know he feels a little bit underappreciated, but I also know that the best place for him is first base for the Mets over the next 3 years. Maybe they give an opt-out or something. And maybe I'm an optimistic Met fan, which you don't really find very often. But I would love to see him in this lineup. And if you love baseball, the polar bear belongs in New York, belongs at first base. And my message to Steve Cohen is, look, you've done a lot of great things for us as fans, and I can't complain about much of it. All I can tell you is that you got to do this one. You got to make this one happen. Because I think all the fans would then probably run even buy more season tickets and sponsorships would go up.
I was rooting for him because of Playoff Pumpkin. Also, he just has a flair for the dramatic. So yeah, we'll see what happens. Like,
he had an off year. He bet on himself, Aime. He had an off year. He's 30 years old. If he was 27, he'd get more money and he'd get longer term.
But he wants to stay, which I think is valuable.
And look, he's still going to make $25 million a year. So,
and considering the Jets and Giants are so bad, it's nice to have some positive baseball news. We're not going to talk about New York football. That's not why you're in here.
Oh, thank God.
Something interesting I heard about you recently, though. You were telling the story. I never knew this about you. You had a chance to be a Packer at the end of your career.
I did. I actually did, yes. All right, because I know that you probably saw a meme that Al Dukes, my producer, put out there on X with me in a Packer uniform. And the reason he did that is because, yes, we were talking about it in 1997. Mike Holmgren tried to convince me to be Brett Favre's backup.
Oh, my gosh. And, how did I not know this about you?
Well, I don't know. It's not one of those stories that, you know, made a lot of noise back then. But I was sitting in his office, and he goes, you know, I'd really love to have you here, Boomer. You know our offense. You know, and it was the whole West Coast offense thing. You know, Bill Walsh, Sam Weish, Bruce Coslett. I was in that mix, you know. So he knew I knew his offense. And I knew I wasn't going to play because they had freaking Brett Favre there. And I was at the end of my career, and I was what you would consider a stopgap quarterback at the end of my career. It seems like that's the way that we describe these quarterbacks nowadays. But I went back to Cincinnati, and he didn't want to let me leave because they had quarterback.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A camp that weekend right there at Lambeau, and I was, man, look at me. I'm looking out at Lambeau going, oh my God, it's Lambeau Field. How do I walk away from this? And then I saw Brett Favre and said, I'm getting the hell out of here. Not that I didn't like him or anything, but I didn't think I'd really have a chance to play. So go back to Cincinnati. Jeff Blake was the quarterback back then, who was my former teammate when I was the Jet quarterback. And the reason he went to Cincinnati is because Bruce Cosett was my head coach, who drafted Jeff out of East Carolina.
Wow.
So he knew about Jeff. The Jets drafted Glenn Foley in the middle of all this. Jeff got released, and Bruce picked him up out in Cincinnati, and then he took over for David Klingler, I believe. I think it was David Klingler. And Jeff went on to have a nice little career in Cincinnati. I went back to Cincinnati, backed him up, and then took over the last five games of the year and actually got to play.
Nice. Boomer Esiason, you know that voice. He's here with us after hours with Amy Lawrence. We're asking listeners, recency bias, last 25 years, best Super Bowl, which, of course, eclipses yours. But well, what are a few that you would say are the best?
I was thinking right off the top of my head because I've done 19 straight Super Bowls as, as an analyst. I mean, that Pittsburgh-Arizona one was insane.
Yes.
With Santonio Holmes in the back of the end zone. Was he in? Wasn't he in? You know, all the controversy that went in that. That James Harrison return at the end of the first half. And I was doing the game with Marv Albert that day.
Oh, my gosh.
And I remember that looking up at the clock as Marv is describing him coming back. I don't know if I said it on the air. I think I did. I said, he better score or, you know, this is going to be all for not running it all the way back. Now, it was an interception. It kept Kurt Warner and the Cardinals out of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you're going to, you know, make the 100-yard run, you got to score the touchdown because the clock was going to run out. There's going to be no time left on the clock. And sure enough, he scores the touchdown, and there was no time left on the clock. So that one was amazing. Obviously, the Giants beating the undefeated Patriots and Plaxico Burress and, you know, David Tyree's catch.
Yeah.
Amazing. New England coming back on Atlanta. And I'll never forget the two catches in that game. I think it was Julian Edelman had one, which was insane.
Right.
And Julio Jones had one along the sideline. That was,
I thought the game was over. When he caught
I
thought the game was over because it was a toe drag. He goes out of bounds. They're already in field goal range. And then it came apart from
there. I mean, I feel so bad for Kyle Shanahan and Dan Quinn. I mean, because I was on the other side of losing a Super Bowl 23, which, you know, I would have said that would have been the best had we won, but we didn't. But yeah, so there's been so many great ones, and these, the ones between San Francisco and Kansas City have been great. Last year's was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care where they are in the game. It could be like, you know, 5 minutes to go in the game and the Chiefs could be down 14 and somehow,
they were down 10 with seven to go.
Exactly.
In the 19 season. So a couple of years ago, you were in here and I asked you about Mahomes and why he made a great quarterback. And I distinctly remember because he has a wide ass. That's what you said.
He's got a solid base.
Yes.
Yeah, a very solid base. Well, and a really smart head. Yes.
Of course. So here we are now, years later. This team has developed into
a dynasty.
The toughest out in sports.
How about a dynasty?
Right, absolutely. You think you got them. They don't blow teams out. And yet still, you can't get rid of them. Why is that?
Well, they got the three-headed monster is Patrick Mahomes, first and foremost, Andy Reid, and Steve Spagnuolo. And I will tell you right now, I can't believe that Steve Spagnuolo didn't get, I think he might have gotten one interview for a potential head coaching spot.
One.
You know, teams want to get their head coaches in now. I mean, except for New Orleans, who's waiting probably for Kellen Moore.
Right.
But I will say that they have those three guys, and Patrick Mahomes wins the fourth quarter. He wins almost every fourth quarter. And when you look at his numbers, you know, he's catching up to Tom Brady. But Tom Brady, I think, played in 35 playoff games. That's 2 years worth of playoff games.
Oh, my gosh.
Two seasons worth of playoff games. Patrick Mahomes, I think this is going to be his 18th game. So he's on that precipice of greatness that Tom Brady left behind. And I think when Tom retired, he probably felt nobody's catching me in these categories, and maybe nobody will. I don't know. But all I do know is that if the Chiefs do win this and are the first team to ever win three in a row, I mean, we're in the midst of a dynasty. I mean, you know, they've gone to, what, seven straight AFC championship games. It's insane. I've been out to Arrowhead. I know what it's like. And I think for most football fans, I think we all have Chiefs fatigue. Would you agree?
Well, I think I'd like a new storyline for the radio, but Mahomes is great.
Maybe Travis and Taylor will give it to us. And if they do that, I swear to God. And by the way, you can bet on that, whether or not he's going to get down on one knee and propose to her after the game in the post-game ceremonies.
If they lose?
No, if they win. But he does that. That's a douche move, I think. For two reasons. For really two reasons. Gosh. You want to know why?
Why?
Two reasons. Number one, she deserves her own special night somewhere else, private.
Yes.
That's what I think.
That's
and true. Then they can put it on Instagram or wherever the hell they do these
things.
Do
you actually think it'll be private, though?
Well, I mean, after the fact. I mean, that's the way it should be between two people if they do actually really love each other. And this is not like some Instagram.
Some
you know,
display.
Hoax.
Yes.
Yeah, or all getting ghosted.
Wait, you
or
don't really think it's still a hoax
no,
now?
No, I don't. I don't.
Okay,
oh, I love a good American love story. Who doesn't, Amy? Come on. So anyway, I would say that's one reason why she deserves her time, her you know the privacy of it all. And number two, I mean, the douche move part of it is that if your team just won its third Super Bowl, okay, don't take anything away from what your team has accomplished if you're Travis. And I think Travis is
a
tremendous teammate.
He is.
You know, he's a great personality. And I pray to God that this doesn't happen. And that he has the wherewithal to say, you know what, this is my team, this is our, you know. He's not going to do it at the Eras Tour or whatever, wherever she's singing next.
I think it's over now.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, he's not going to do it like during when she's doing her thing with her team. So why would you do this with your team when your team should be celebrating what has never been done before if they win?
Of all the things I thought we were going to talk about, Saquon Barkley was a Giant. Ultimately,
yeah.
Takes about the same amount of money to go to Philly. Did you ever think it was going to go like this with the Eagles?
You know, I feel bad for the Giants, Joe Shane and John Mara. They really wanted them, but they didn't have the team, and they don't have the team that
the
Philadelphia has. So Philadelphia and Howie Roseman, you know, Howie Roseman's amazing. Executive of the year again. His offseason got two new coordinators, an offensive and defense coordinator in Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. You know, signs Mekhi Becton at right guard, who almost ate himself out of the league when he was a Jet, immature Jet player. And now all of a sudden is walking off the field crying because he's so emotionally, fulfilled. Like, okay. And then, of course, you got Saquon Barkley, who's got every reason and every axe to grind that you possibly can, especially when you think about how much he's making and what he has given to this team. Same thing with Derrick Henry. Same thing with Josh Jacobs. Same thing with Aaron Jones. They all switched teams.
Yeah.
And they all got maybe a little bit more money from their new team, but they also all carried the load for, and just goes to show you how underpaid they truly are. So I'm really happy for Saquon.
Me
you
too.
Know, maybe I think now, is he the gold jacket guy that Dave Gettleman said he was when he drafted him? It looks like it.
Well, if he wins a Super Bowl,
oh my God,
has another couple good seasons.
And if he gets an MVP, it's going to be a fast track down to New Orleans. You know, they're not going to have to worry about slippery field like Philadelphia and Kansas City dealt with the last time these two teams played.
Yeah.
When Jalen Hurts should have gotten the MVP.
Yeah, he was terrific.
Three rushing touchdowns. But, you know, what people forget about that Super Bowl is that Patrick Mahomes in the second half was perfect. I think he was like 17 for 18, two touchdowns, no sacks, no fumbles, no turnovers. And there was one huge play in that Super Bowl, and that was on the unfortunate fumble by Jalen Hurts that led to the touchdown for the Chiefs.
Right. So I've gone to one, like actually been in the stadium one time. That was the Atlanta New England game. Duh. And I was blown away by the fact that it's so different than what you see on TV. So you've called a bunch of them, you've gone to a bunch of them. People who've never been inside a stadium, what do they need to know? What are they missing?
You know what? It's corporate.
But the atmosphere, though.
The atmosphere is awesome. There's a real, like in this particular case, the Philadelphia fans are going to bring the edge to it. You know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, if you actually had a Kansas City Chiefs fan and a Philadelphia fan and you put them side by side, you'd have two really different people. You know what I mean? So I think the Philadelphia fan will be bringing the energy for this Super Bowl. And like I said, I think most people do have Chiefs fatigue. I'm not one of those people. I want to see greatness. I want to see people set new standards and do things that nobody else has ever done before. So it's not like I'm rooting for the Chiefs, but I'm not against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And, you know, Philadelphia is a great story. Jalen Hurts is a great story. He's a second-round draft choice, made his way out of Alabama, had a chip on his shoulder, lost his way the last couple years, and now has seemed to have found his way back. And that's a nice little comeback story for those of us who played the position. So.
Well, and I'll be happy for Vic. I mean, Vic got bounced in Denver. And
yeah, well, but some guys are not head coaches,
guy,
you know?
Yeah.
So I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think, just to talk about the Jets for a second, they hire Aaron Glenn, a former player, who's never been a head coach before. But watching him talk in his opening press conference, you say to yourself, that is a leader of men. Because that's what the Jets... Really, I thought Rob Saleh was that. I really did. And then unceremoniously fired like after week five after
Thanks, Aaron
a couple
Rogers.
Close games. Yeah, whatever. But I hope and I pray that Aaron Glenn's going to be able to do this. But, you know, they're behind the quarterback eight ball right now. They're out of the 16 teams in the AFC, they're probably 15 when it comes to the quarterback situation. So they got to get that figured out. He's got to get his offensive coordinator. But I do believe, like, unlike Vic Fangio, I feel like maybe Aaron can make that jump from defensive coordinator to head coach.
He's intense.
And be the, yeah, that's right.
And defiant.
He's got a little bit of the Parcells Fierce. Thing. The whole thing, that's a whole Parcells, like getting the band back together. You know, all these guys, these young guys, have all been okayed by the Tannenbaum, Parcells, Peyton, Dan Campbell kind of group. That's the group. That's the Parcells group. They all learned under Parcells.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron played for Parcells at the Jets and certainly under Campbell, under Peyton. So they all said, yeah, this guy's ready to go, and hopefully he is, because he's going to need every ounce of energy and not get steamrolled here by the media in New York.
But even like Pete Carroll in Vegas, I mean, you can be a great coach, a championship coach, but if you don't have a quarterback, it's a lot harder to win. So hopefully the Johnsons are a little more patient.
Well, I don't, the fan base is the fan base right now is excited. Just like I want the Met fan base to be excited today with Pete
Mets
Alonso.
And Jets.
I think the fan base is excited. I think they like what they heard from Aaron Glenn. But I just, the quarterback situation is so dire that, you know, if they win six games next year, it's because he has willed them to six games as we sit here now.
Right.
Now, if you told me that they're bringing Aaron Rodgers back, you know, we'll see. Well, I don't know how that would work. But I also know that given where Aaron is from and where, you know, he's coached around, these guys all want veteran you know, quarterbacks, unless they can find the next Bo Nix.
Right. Or the next Jaden Daniels.
Or somebody like that. I mean, you know, you win the, I think, like, Sean Payton won the lottery. Because that's one pick right there that, you know, the Giants passed on. Like, all these teams passed on that could have used him. But here's the weird thing. I don't think he would have been as good anywhere else as he is
Payton.
In Denver because of Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Patrick Mahomes going to Kansas City.
With Andy Reid, exactly.
It's perfect.
For sure.
That the environment has to be there for a young quarterback to flourish. And that's why Cliff Kingsbury was so important to the development of Jaden Daniels
in
Washington.
Very cool. You're the best.
Why are you leaving here, by the way?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Aren't you leaving us like after 12 years?
Have
you been here for 12 years?
12 plus years.
I mean, but legitimately in this studio where we are right now.
Yeah, we started. It's looked a lot different. There used to
be year did you start?
Windows. Oh, we launched the network on January 1st, 2013.
All right, yeah. So I got here in 2007, and I guess we moved into this building because WFAN is right next to you.
Didn't you used to use this studio? We stole it from you?
Yeah, we did.
So they were going to build us new ones. That never happened.
It's a beautiful
here we
studio,
are.
Though.
I know. You like it because it doesn't smell like boys in here.
No. Well, that's you know, I kind of do agree with that statement, yes.
All right.
But I'm one of those boys. So are you telling me that
I smell
fine.
Nope, you smell fine.
I mean, I put on cologne every morning.
Thank you for doing that.
I can't believe you don't notice.
Thank you, Boomer. Good to talk to you.
Amy, good
former
to see you.
NFL MVP. I like to say that. No one can ever take that away. Have a good weekend. Yeah. All right, we're a little bit late, but that was worth it. Totally worth it to talk to Booms about Super Bowl stuff. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Let's tip off with the NBA. The Lakers beat the Wizards in Washington 134-96. Lakers head coach J.J. Redick saw his shorthanded team get a blowout win.
It's a big deal when three of your top seven guys are out of the lineup and you can bring guys in that haven't necessarily been in the rotation, and they make a big impact.
LeBron James, 24 points, 11 boards. The Wizards have lost 16 in a row. Now to Utah.
Ant with it, top of the key. The free throw line, dumps it off for Rudy inside, takes a dribble. Here comes the jump hook. He banked it in off the window. Two more for Rudy Gobert. Give him 15 for the game.
Alan Horton on T-Wolves Radio. T-Wolves over the Jazz, 138-113. Anthony Edwards, 36 points and 11 assists. Elsewhere, Blazers over the Magic, 119-90. Grizzlies, 120. Rockets, 119. And the Cavs over the Hawks, 137-115. NBA All-Star Reserves in the West, Victor Wembanyama, Anthony Edwards, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Jaren Jackson Jr., Alperen Sengun, and Jalen Williams. In the East, Jaylen Brown, Pascal Siakam, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Kate Cunningham, Damian Lillard, and Tyler Hero. College basketball in overtime, Nebraska over Illinois, 80-74, Memphis beat Tulane, 68-56, and UCLA over Oregon, 78-52. College football, East-West Shrine Game, it was the East over the West, 25-0. From baseball, former Mets pitcher Max Scherzer has reportedly agreed on a one-year deal with the Blue Jays worth $15.5 million. NHL, Kraken over the Sharks, 6-2. In overtime, Blue Jackets 2, Golden Knights 1. In overtime, Red Wings 3, Oilers 2, Flames 4, Ducks 1. Islanders over the Flyers 3-0, Hurricanes 3, Blackhawks 2, Canadiens 4, Wild 0. In overtime, Senators 5, Caps 4, Lightning over the Kings 3-0. Jets beat the Bruins 6-2. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Giants from their 44-yard line. Manning looks out of the shotgun. He takes it. Facing pressure. He's in trouble. He's spun around. He's able to get away. Looks to throw. He does. Downfield. And a leaping catch is made. Down at the 25. What a play. Neva Tyree comes up with the ball. What a play by Eli Manning.
Wow. Marv Albert on Westwood One. That was, I'll say, my best Super Bowl of the last 25 years, even though I was there for the Patriots comeback in Houston against the Atlanta Falcons, and that was pretty dramatic as well. But I'm going to go with that one because it... You know all the reasons. The Giants were a six seed. They were a wild card team. They were... had no business winning that game. They were giant underdogs. Patriots were about to cap a perfect season, and David Tyree, who never caught another ball in the NFL. That just was awesome. If you missed the current voice of the Super Bowl on Westwood One, Kevin Harlan was a guest earlier on the show. Great to talk to him. That's part of our podcast. And of course, Boomer Esiason could tell stories all day. 855-212-4227. Best Super Bowl of the last 25 years. Dave in Chicago.
Hey, Amy. Happy Friday.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I think you were I think you were at the best one. I think just the sheer deficit that the Patriots overcame in that game. I mean, it has to be the biggest deficit overcome in the Super Bowl, in the Super Bowl era, I would think.
Oh, yeah. 28-3 for sure.
Yeah.
So and at that point, the first one to go into overtime.
Yeah. So to me, that one's the most dramatic in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I agree. I think the Tyree catch is a close second.
Well, and just the circumstances of that game, too. And Eli Manning, so not the charismatic type that we see now, right? Just so understated and, yeah, pretty incredible. And plus the Manning family and all that jazz. But it wasn't just him. And it was the Plaxico Burress and the Tyree and really the pinnacle of the careers for both of them, too.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Good to talk to you in Chicago. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Curtis is in New Hampshire. Live free or die, baby. Curtis, welcome to the show. What do you think?
Hey, how's it going
today?
So I'm a big Patriots fan myself. So, of course, I have to agree with everybody else about the Atlanta game. But I'm actually going to mention the 2002 Super Bowl, the Gruden Bowl. The Buccaneers, the Raiders, number one offense, number one defense playing against each other.
Yeah.
I was in the military back then, and it was just, I was rooting for the Raiders. Obviously, it didn't go their way. But I love that whole dynamic with the coach moving from the Raiders to the Buccaneers.
Do you remember the coach?
Yeah, John Gruden.
It was kind of fun, too, because he had taken over a team that was ready and kind of pushed them over the hump for sure. So that wasn't a close one. But, it's hard to think about the Buccaneers hanging 48 on a team right now. But
And, it was just kind of interesting because John Gruden knew what Rich Gannon was going to do pretty much in every play during that entire game. He was telling his defense. That's why they performed so well, I think, against the Raiders.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that goes back to January of 2003. Wowzers. Time goes fast when we measure by Super Bowls.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Curtis. I appreciate your call. Good stuff. I like that we've had a variety of answers, and we'll leave the post up at A-Law Radio at Amy After Hours. We'll pin it to the top of our show Twix and then also on our Facebook page. We got a bunch of answers in there as well. Lots of people pointing back to that Cardinals-Steelers Super Bowl, and that was the last time I went to a party, a Super Bowl party, so I remember it well. Lots of people calling up Patriots and Falcons and 28-3 and the overtime, the collapse by the Falcons. That one taking place in 2017. Some David Tyree, others going with Saints beating the Colts Super Bowl 44, says Jerry. And of course, in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, that was such a big deal for the New Orleans Saints. Let's see, Washington versus Denver. Wait a minute, that was way, way, way before 2000. Washington, wasn't that in the 80s? The Harbowl, that was the one, or the first Harbowl, right? That was the Ravens and the Niners, and Baltimore barely hanging on. So that was our first Super Bowl here as a network. So you can find it on either of our social media, and of course, we'll continue the conversation next week as we get closer to Super Bowl 59. Have a great weekend. Enjoy it all. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.